already are.
Amen.
Yeah. Already are. How many knows the devil's defeated?
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. That's right.
And we're going to show him that tonight.
That's right.
Right, he's coming here and mess around with us. Uh-huh. Not that we're anything big, but we got a great big God.
That's right.
Amen. So, got through the song service there, fighting battles, and yeah. But we'll let the devil have the word.
Yeah.
Amen. So, just appreciate each one of you being here tonight. God is so good to us.
Yeah.
Brother Dan was right. We bring him with us.
Yeah.
And we bring the joy provider with us.
Yes.
Amen. And our lips of fire get together and really heat the place up in the Lord. So we really appreciate each one here and your overcoming attitude.
Yeah.
Amen. Makes a big difference. So let's open our Bibles to James, the book of James, chapter 1. And we'll read verse 16 through 25. James, chapter 1. 16 through 25. Midweek service. I'll try not to hold you long. But you pull and we'll leave it between you. You're pulling in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
I'm going to title this tonight, Doers of the Word or Overcomers. Amen. Doers of the Word are Overcomers. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness nor shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man worketh not righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like a man beholding his natural face in a glass, talking about a mirror. For he beholdeth himself, and he goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man should be blessed in his deeds. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we love you, Lord. We thank you for this place and this people and your word. Promises, Lord, and your faithfulness. And so, Lord, just we want to give you praise and honor this evening. And we ask, God, that you'd come and just break the bread of life, some words that would help your people, Lord, truths that will settle down into their experience. We pray, God, that you do that for each one, including me. I have my hand up for it too, Lord. And so we trust you. We know, God, that we don't claim among any of us, none of us claim to be anything big or great, just we claim to be redeemed, claim to be your people. We give you all honor, Lord, and this platform, this time is yours. And we just give it to you happily in the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. You know, sometimes, you know, I think the Lord wants us to really have a real sit down heart to heart talk with Him. Sometimes a heart to heart talk with each other.
Yeah.
And, you know, to really just look things over and examine ourselves and see, you know, Scripture talking about this, to examine, you know, see whether you're actually in the faith or not.
Right.
And so, you know, I was just jotting down a few things there a little before service, and I wanted to ask a few questions. You know, and as a heart talk, let's just ask ourselves these questions. You know, do we really believe that Christ will have a bride? And just ask yourselves: is this something I really am? I convinced of that? And so if we believe he'll have a bride, because we know his word says he will provide one for himself, if he's going to have a bride, do we feel that the Bible has sufficient word to produce that?
Right.
I do. I believe that. Sufficient word to do it. And so if that's so, then do we really believe that her nature will match his nature? Absolutely. I don't think we doubt any of that, right? We know that's exactly what it is. And our nurture will be his. And so do we really believe that she'll be manifested here on earth? Not just afterwards, but she'll be manifested here.
Right.
Yes, we believe that. We believe it's going on now. We believe there's greater manifestation of it. And so it'll be manifested here is what we believe. And we believe that she will go and actually sit on his throne.
Right.
Sit in judgment with him. My wife and I in our scripture reading a night or two ago, where Paul was saying, don't you know that you'll judge angels? You're going to judge the earth. He was getting on to them and saying, what is this about believers? You're taking one another to court, suing one another before unjust judges and the unjust. He says, what's the matter with you? Can't you even, in your own church, can't you judge over even the smallest matters?
Right.
Don't you know you're going to judge angels? So we believe the bride's going to sit there on the throne with him and judge this generation especially, right? We believe that. You know, it's kind of a sobering thought thing, you know, but people you work with and people that you've interacted with, they're going to be standing there. And so I believe those things too. But do we believe these things enough to pursue after these things, pursue after these truths?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the thing. And really to ask ourselves, do we really do that? Amen. Because we believe, we know Brother Brown will tell us it was a very serious time. And so I want to, like I said, talk about doers of the word, be overcomers. You know, it's a common phrase among us. And you know, a lot of things in the message need to become something more than just cliches. You know, you can be in the message, you can be a Christian, and you know all the right things to say and all the right ways to act and still be wrong.
Right.
You know, we don't want to just act. We want to really be it, really have what the Bible says that he's going to put within us. And I don't believe he would be calling for that without providing it. I know that he has provided it for us. And so, you know, every one of us, we have this cliche among us that we need an absolute.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, everybody, when you make a decision, you've made a decision on your absolute. That becomes whatever it was that it sparked you to make the decision in a way, that's your ultimate. You've went with your ultimate.
Right.
And so we know that every person, we have absolutes. But we know as Christians that our absolute should be the Word of God.
Amen.
Right? I mean, I want you to believe the things I'm sharing with you because I'm bringing them out of the message, out of the Word. But ultimately, anything that anybody tells you, including the prophet, it must go back to this Bible.
You know,
this is the thing that has stood the ages.
Right.
This is the thing that God has used to shake in the devil's face and beat him every time.
Right.
And so we know that. And so as Christians, we know that the Word of God, it is to be our absolute. You know, some people, especially our denominations, you know, I guess all Christian churches tell you, oh, yeah, our Bible, that's what we believe.
Right.
I think I've heard Brother Brennan talk about some of them and say, we speak where the Bible speaks and we're silent where the Bible's silent, but you find out they're not.
Right?
Because there's things the Bible speaks that they won't agree with, and they say things the Bible's not saying.
Mm-hmm.
And so you find that in denominations and we don't want to be that way,
right?
And I say that because I know, you know, I really believe God has given us his atomic bomb. I believe that he's really given us a message that will absolutely just, you know, this is the final word, and it's going to defeat Satan on his ground. There's going to be a bride that's got a body change. She's going to manifest the word even on Satan, Satan's Eve.
Yeah.
Right? I believe that. I really do. And so, but the same devil that's been out there through all the ages to make denominations put him in a spot where they claim that the Bible is what they, but yet they're not. And so, you know, we would claim, you know, hey, we believe the message and so forth, and we want to really have that. We don't want to just act like that we do and claim that we do. And I say that because the same devil that fights them, you know, that's worked on them, he wants to work on us.
Right.
But I believe, just naive enough, or I wouldn't say naive, but I believe enough. You'll see what's going on. I believe enough to say that God will have a people, a bride, a people who's going to overcome. Yeah. Right? And so, whatever Satan's doing in this day, it didn't make a difference what he wants to do, what he wants to try. God's going to have overcomers.
Amen.
Amen? No question about it. And so, we want to believe those things. And so, we don't want to be like the denominations and all different ones and whatever. We want the Word of God to be our absolute, because if we become have a choice of our own that's not Word, then we become our own absolute.
Right.
We don't want to be our own absolute, right?
Right.
We want the Word of God to be our absolute.
Amen.
And so you realize that it is the Laodicean way, mm-hmm. right? Laodicea is justice of the people or rights of the people. You know, and we live in an hour where everybody, that's what the whole thing is. Hey, you can be whatever you want to be.
Right.
You can claim whatever you want to claim.
Right.
If you think you can claim that you're a different gender, mm-hmm. and the laws are going to make people accept it, right? We see that going on because it is rights of the people. Just whatever it is, whatever you want to live, just let them have it. Let them be whatever they want. But then here we are in this age where there's an anointing telling people, just whatever you believe, whatever you want it to be, just go with it. And we know it can't be that way.
Okay.
We know that we have to have an absolute, and that absolute has to come from a higher place than us.
Right?
Right? It has to come from a higher place. You know, when the scripture said that God, when he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. Because, you know, when you're trying to convince someone, or you're trying to make an oath to someone, and I know the scripture tells us not to swear, but just bear with me. When you're trying to make an oath and you're trying to say, I promise you, I'll pay you next Friday or whatever if you loan me this money or whatever it might be. And you're like, I promise, I make an oath to you, I swear to you I'll do it. And what we really want to do is, to really convince someone, you want to reach to a higher power and convince them that not just in what I'm saying, but from the one who watches over me, or from a higher one, I mean, in his watchful eye, I promise you, under his eyes, you know what I'm saying? And so you would swear to something greater than yourself.
Right.
But the scripture said God could not swear to anything greater, so he swore to him of himself, right?
Right.
And so, what I'm getting at there when I say that is that we realize that we have to have something that guides us, and it can't be us. It can't be our choice. It can't be my thoughts, your thoughts.
Right?
Right? What guides us has to come from something higher.
Right.
And I'll tell you why here in just a moment as I get a little bit further down in there. And so people can, you know, this is the age where it's like whatever. But you realize that God cannot honor or endorse death.
Right.
God cannot honor something that's wrong. Right? He cannot honor anything except truth. He honors his word because his word is truth. And so, you know, God is edified when we minister back to him. You know, the scriptures talk about how the thousands and ten thousands, whatever, ministered to him. And Brother Ray said, hey, that's the bride, you know, because the wife ministers to the husband.
Right.
And so the wife is given all these, the home and the abilities that is, you know, purchased by the husband. He's the breadwinner, and she's blessed in all his position. And she turns right around and takes of all the substance that he's given to her, and she ministers back to him. And when he comes in and she blesses him with a nice evening and a sweet attitude and food and all the things that's under her, that he's put underneath her, and she's turned around and taken all that he's put underneath her and given her ability to do, and she's using that to bless him. You see what I'm saying? So God is edified when we turn around and minister back to him this word and back to him the truth, not just say it, but to live it, to live back to him. He comes home, as it were, and he's just so blessed when he's in her presence, because she's everything he's wanted her and desired for her to be. She's that. And it just blesses him, right? And so, you know, I think that people should pray every day, right? And I think that you should have times when you really, you know, you pray through. We call pray through. You get into his presence and pray through. And so one of the things, you say, well, brother, I don't know, you know, it's been a while, or I don't know if I've ever done that. I would tell you one of the best ways to get into the Spirit, and that is in prayer, just to start praying back to him his truth. What his word says and how wonderful he is and how he's blessed your life. And when you start quoting this word back to him, yeah, brother, sister, he comes on the scene, and Brother Daniel's waving his hand back there. See, he knows. Yeah. If you want to get somewhere with God, you got to minister back to him this word.
Amen.
Right? And not just a hearer of it, but a doer of it.
Amen.
Amen. To do the word and live those things back to him. And so, we realize that God, people could say whatever they want in Laodicea and have their choices of whatever, but God can't bless those things. He can only bless his truth. He can only endorse word, because that's the only thing that's going to live, that's going to not pass away anyway, right? And so he can't do that. And so I said we have to, you know, like swearing to a higher power or whatever, we know that our ultimate can't be us. We can't make that choice.
Right.
It has to come from a higher power, and the reason why is because we answer to a higher power.
Right.
Now, I know people don't want to believe that, but listen, we are not our own,
right?
I know when we say that, we say, yeah, because we're bought with a price, but bear with me here. We are not our own. We can't just do our own will.
Right.
That's what people are doing, but we know that's not right. And so I say that because You can't just go do what you want indefinitely, because one day death's going to come knocking.
Right.
If you're your own, why do you have to pay the debt? See what I'm saying?
Right.
Because you belong, you answer to a higher power.
Right.
And you just waste away your time, people. And I say this to maybe somebody listening, I'm not trying to lay it on you. I'm just, you understand. But people, you know, live their life and just do whatever, and God comes calling, right?
Mm-hmm.
So we are not our own. We have to answer.
Yeah.
Right.
We have to answer to him when he calls,
yeah,
right? And so, you have people say, oh, you know, I'm not afraid of anything. I know that Brother Ryan used to, years ago, when we were here in this church, Pentecost, and he was talking about some guy he worked with, you know, and I'm not afraid, or I'm, you know, whatever. And I think somebody had a cigarette or a lighter or something, and they reached over and was going to burn his arm. And he, hey, what are you doing? And they said, well, I thought you wasn't afraid of nothing. And when you think about it, when we get afraid, that is testimony that we enter to something else.
Okay.
Right? Because if we were all in ourselves, nothing would bother us. But we are bothered, because we have to answer to a higher power. We got it. We have to get in sync with that higher power, with that, what his will is. Our life is so much better when we get in sync with him.
Amen.
Right? And not try to live to ourselves, but live to him.
Amen.
Amen. We believe that. And so, you know, we know it comes calling, and so we just want to live for him. And so when that time comes, we're happy. Happy when he calls. We really, I think I've thought of it so many times. And I know it's hard when you lose somebody. But when you think about it, they're believers. Brother, sister, their suffering's over with.
Right.
You know, we were talking the other day about Brother Jim Buckner. I said, that brother, man, he got there before we did.
Yeah.
Right? And his suffering's not, he's you know, Sister Pansy. I was thinking as we sang that song a while ago, that second one we sung there, I forget which one it was, when we all get to heaven. I remember so many times Brother Perryman was a good song leader. He could sing and he could play a tambourine like you wouldn't believe. Very good at it. And the many times, in whether it was this building or previous ones, him singing that song or all the different ones we sing and just rejoicing, and I got to thinking, you know, that brother's over there. And it won't be much longer until we are, right? It won't be much longer. Brother, sister, it's all over with then. Till then, we keep pressing on. Amen? But it'll be all over with at that point, and then we'll be there with all those that's going on that we miss, Brother Harp and the different ones that we love. So we realize there's got to be something in our life that is an absolute that we turn to for life's decisions. And it can't be us. Everything man touches, he just messes up. And everything we try to do messes up, unless we get leadership from the Lord on it. And so we know that there's got to be something that we turn to, and then that's what we have to hold tight to. That's what we have to hold fast to. And so no matter what comes along our way, no matter how hard this enemy fights, we got to hold on to that absolute. I mean, and I'm saying this as a heart-to-heart talk. We've got to really boil it down. What is our absolute? What are we willing to go to our death for? Right? I mean, we as especially men, you know, for our children, our grandchildren, our family, you know, we would lay our life on the line to protect them. But I'm talking about in the gospel, right? What are we really believing? What are we really willing to put our lives at stake for? Because we will. Right, that's where we are. We are in the fight of our lives, right?
Right.
And unless we have that absolute or ultimate, and it comes from God, unless that's what it is, then we're in trouble. If it's not, but we've really got to come to that place where we understand, hey, this is where I stand. You know, where we could say to the devil, here I stand,
yeah.
Right? And then you got to stand on that because. You know he's going to fight you.
Yeah.
He knows he's going to fight you every bit of the way. And so we want to take sides, and we want to take sides against the enemy, right? Brother Rand preached taking sides with Jesus, taking sides with the Word. We want to take sides with Jesus. We want to take sides against the Word. And you know when you do that the enemy is going to fight you. That's just all there's only one way. His only one way is to grab that word, hang on to it, and fight with it. Fight with that word and to defeat the devil, because he's going to come at you. We don't expect him to do anything else. We know we're in his crosshairs. That's why we fight battles all the time. That's why you try to, even something as simple as song service or coming in and, you know, people trying to come and have their minds and the things of the Lord come to church and say it tries to upset it, you know. My wife and I, we could sit down and go to read scriptures. I think it was last night, and had maybe two words. I started reading the first two words out of the scripture, and the phone rings, you know, and she's like, nope, she's going to hang up, and I don't care who calls after this. We're not, you know, we're not going to answer the phone, you know. It's just, you know, you see that's the way it is, and so We know that the enemy's going to fight us. He's just going to do it. And so, but you know what? Guess what? We win.
Mm-hmm.
We win as long as we're fighting with the right weapons.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Mm-hmm. And we know what the weapons of our warfare are. The scripture said they're not carnal. Right? You're not wrestling against flesh and blood. You're not wrestling against your brothers, your sisters in the Lord, or your physical brothers or sisters, or your parents, or your children, or your boss or whatever, the people in the evil people through the drive-thru sister. We're not fighting against them.
Right.
It's spiritual wickedness.
Right.
Right? And I'm going to tell you something. You can take an evil spirit and you can put him right in here and you can swing at him all you want. You'll never touch him because you're using the wrong thing. If you want to defeat the devil, you've got to use the right tool, the right weapon.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And Paul said, those weapons are not carnal. They're not your fists. They're not your words. In, you know, whatever. I mean, You can debate that a little bit because words carry things, you know. But you know, sometimes in life you come to a place where it takes a deliverance. Mm-hmm. It takes a move of God that not words that you can say can do it, right? It takes a supernatural move of God. And a lot of times in life we go through those things where he has to move, and he does. But we have to use the right weapons, the weapons that when you swing it, it will hit the devil, right? And so we have to remember that. And the scripture said that those weapons, they're mighty through God to pulling down the strongholds, right? Casting down imaginations, right? And all these thoughts and things that exalt themselves against the things of God, right? And so we realize that we've got to have and use the right weapons. And those weapons, you know, we have the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, all that. We know the armor of God there that the young people in Sunday school are studying on right now. We understand that. Right. And there's so much of those things that are for protecting us. You know, the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and all that, and those things like that. But out of all that armor, there's one thing that it speaks of that is the thing that you use to strike out against. Because you can have all the army you want to protect you, and you're not going to kill your enemy. Right? You need that armor to protect you, but you need something to strike out against the enemy with. And that's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. That's the thing that when you sling it, it's the right tool. It's in the realm it needs to be. And when you sling it at the devil, he notices it. Right? And we need to remember these things. Right? It is so, it's our battle of our flesh to pull right back over into carnality and try and deal with things with carnality. And that's the biggest mistake we can make. It's so easy to do. People get us aggravated. We go off, man. We shoot right out like a jackrabbit in carnality. It's so easy. And that's just not the way you win these battles. You win it in the Spirit. By the sword of the Spirit. And so, and also, not just the sword of the Spirit. If you read those, the number, kind of an incomplete number until you add the last one there is praying. Yeah, that's another weapon. Praying. Amen. So we know that, believe that. And so we want to be overcomers. You know, the scriptures, if you have noticed that in common word there in the New Testament, in the church ages, every one of them said, to him that overcometh. Mm-hmm. And if you notice, it was only in the New Testament that you find that where he is saying, overcomers. Mm-hmm. Not to say that people in the Old Testament didn't overcome, because they did. Mm-hmm. But you find it that God in the New Testament, in all those seven ages, as he's speaking to each one of those angels of each of those ages, he's saying to each one, he is calling for overcomers. So in the New Testament, why? Because he has went to Calvary. He's paid the price, and he's come back in the form of the Holy Ghost to get in his people, and he knows that's what he's here for, is to make his people overcomers. And so he called for it. He calls for a life of overcoming from his people, right? And that's why he does it. And so I want to just read through those seven different times. She'll bring them up here. I think she has them. So Revelation chapter 2 verse 7, this is to the Ephesian church age, first church age. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Wow, wouldn't that be great? Overcomers who can eat of the tree of life. You know what that is? Eternal life. Amen. The next one there is the Smyrna age, chapter 2 verse 11. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. You know why? Because he started getting martyred. Right? Started martyred. His promise there, you will not be hurt. Right? The next one is a third church age. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And this was the Pergamian age. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and I will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth saving he that receiveth it. It's a trophy. Right? A trophy. A victory. Amen. Next one, unto to him that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. This was during the dark ages. He that keepeth my works unto the end. There is a lot about our Christian walk that you work. You work it out. You got to be faithful. I was thinking about Brother Perryman years and years and years. He was as faithful as a son was coming up to be at church. And it didn't make any difference what came his way, how many there was or how many there wasn't. He served God. And he was a mentor to me. Amen. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as a vessel of a potter shall they be broken into shivers, even as I received of my Father. And I will give him the morning star, because it was a dark age. So he said, I promise I'll give you the morning star. Sometimes, and we go through these stages of those church ages in our life. But he's promised us all these things. You know, go through trials, but he will reverse that. And so we go through dark time, but morning comes. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. The next one, I think, is the Philadelphian. That's 3:12. Yes. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the city, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Amen. And then the one we're very familiar with, Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame to sit down with my Father in his throne. Look at all the promises to every age. Every age he has promised overcomers. He'll make right the things that were wrong. Amen. And so that's who we are. We are overcomers. We believe that. Brother Bram, I read this here not too long ago, an exposition of the seven church ages, Laodicean church age. A quick look at the scriptures which involve the Lord Jesus overcoming will bring out this truth of this proposition in Matthew 4, wherein Jesus is tempted of the devil. He overcame the personal temptation of Satan by the word and by the word only. And each of the three major trials that corresponded exactly to the temptation in the Garden of Eden, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and pride of life. Jesus overcame by the word. We've heard that so many times. You have to ask yourself, he could have spoke, I heard this recently, he could have spoke Satan out of existence. Think about that. Right there, but he didn't. And the reason why he didn't was because he wanted to show you and I that you do not have to exercise some supernatural something to defeat Satan. All you got to do is stay with the word and use it. Swing that sword. It is written. It is written. Right? It is written. That's what he's doing. So, Jesus overcame by the word. Eve fell to the personal temptation of Satan by failing to use the word. Adam fell in direct disobedience to the word. But Jesus overcame by the word. Right? And Brother Bram says, and right now let me say this, that this is the only way to be an overcomer, and it's also the only way that you can know that you overcome it, because the word can't fail. The only way you might feel good and do something and think you're overcoming, but the only way you can really know that you're overcoming is by the word. And if you're doing that, you don't have to feel nothing. As long as you stay with the word, you know you're overcoming, because that word can't fail. That's why it's probably been trillions of times in our age that ministers all collectively have spoken. Stay with the word. It's got to be the word, because that's where it lays. Amen. So, overcoming means that you have battles. And it means that in those battles, you have to make decisions. You have to have an ultimate of what you're going to use, how you're going to stand. and what weapons you're going to use, and use the weapons of God's warfare. Amen. Cunningly devised fables won't work. Right? Doctrines of man, our own devices, none of those things will work. You know, boxers, you know, Brother Bam was a boxer. A boxer or sports people, you know, they want a match. They want to box someone. Because they'll never prove who they are if they never fight, have a fight, right? Ball game will never declare that they're winners unless they have to play the game, right? And so you realize that what would it take to show just how wonderful and how great and how powerful and how much overcoming our Lord is? It would take a formidable adversary, right? It takes a formidable adversary to pull out the attributes of what he is.
Right.
And if those attributes are present in our life, it would take a formidable trial for God to show his overcoming power in our lives.
Yeah.
And that's our daily, that's what we do daily in our battles. And as things come, it's not easy. The battles are tough. They do come. And but in every case, always remember, we win. If we stay with Christ, we win. No matter what it looks like, we win. David ran to meet Goliath.
Yeah.
Brother, sister, it's time that we learn to run to meet our enemy.
Yeah.
Run to him with the word. Run to him with those stones that we picked up, you know, to sling at him. Amen. And so the scripture tells us that we are to be more than just a hearer of the word. We need to be a doer, because if we are only a hearer, if we only hear it in church, now follow me, if we only hear it, and when we go out the doors, we don't do it, we forget it.
Okay.
It's what we read. And if I've said anything tonight at all that would stay with you, is to remember that. God expects us to be doers of this word that he has given to us. And if we don't do it, if we don't live it, we're going to lose it. We're going to forget it. We're going to forget what it's like. We're going to forget the magnitude of the revelations that God has given if we play around with it.
Right.
He expects us to live it. God help all of us, right? That we can absolutely make the word live in our lives. And I've said this before, and I think Sister Naomi Carlin was the one that pointed this out to me one time when I was up there preaching. We were fellowshipping. But when Brother Branham preached the invisible union of the bride of Christ, right? And the very next night, the very next sermon he preached was Works is Faith Expressed. And you spell it, Works is Faith, his wife. So the wife of Christ, if there's one church on the planet Earth that's going to be able to put, to show their faith by their works, it's her. And that's the wife of Christ. She will live that word, right? Just to tie that in, just to show you that James said, if you don't, you're going to forget it.
Right.
I don't want to forget the promises of God,
right?
So we should all take account of that and you know, as the scripture said, you know, be awake and be sober and think about these things, because Satan is out the roaring lion.
Right.
But he is defeated.
Right.
He is defeated. Stay with the word. I don't care what it looks like. If that pen a while ago would have caught on fire, an overcomer would just keep right on singing.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Whatever it is, you just keep living that word, but make sure it's the word you're living, right?
Amen.
Not just something that some man has said. Search the scriptures daily to see if these things that Brother Ram said is true.
Okay.
Do it. You won't offend God one bit if you do that. You won't offend me one bit if you do that, or Brother Daniel, right? Because this is our absolute.
Amen.
Right? We, you know, and so If I take a light and I shine on it, over it, that just helps me see it better, right? The light's not my absolute. It's just helping me see the absolute. And that's the thing I'm getting at, is this word is our absolute.
Amen.
Amen. And so, no matter how evil it gets, I was hearing Brother Branham, he said in a sermon, the angel of the Lord, he said, God can't pour out his wrath on a just people. He's talking about the world getting so wicked, and they are, right? Judgment will not come upon them until God, till they've, they're, you know, they're. But you must always remember, God cannot pour his wrath out on the just people.
Yeah.
If you stay with his word, you are in his blessings. Amen.
Yeah.
And you don't have to worry about it. God wants us to be happy in the things that he has done in this day. And, you know, of course, the enemy, he's the one that comes along and tries to get us distracted. But, amen. We want to be doers. Of the word, and if you'll notice, it said there a doer of the word, and then down there it said a doer of the work, right? Because there is something for us to do, right? That is living out the word. Amen. Let's just pray for a moment. Lord, we thank you for your blessings upon us. We're asking, God, that these things would just become so real to each one of your people. Lord, just a little short thing here in the middle of the week. Just want to dig down into the strength of your word. Lord, send your people with things to think on, realizing that they are overcomers. They've already exhibited so much of overcoming power in their life, and I just pray, God, as it would just get stronger and more powerful, and just to take your word and the promises that you've given and speak them and go forth. Let them understand that the word is in their mouth, as the scripture said. To speak it means something, works something in the spirit realm there, defeating the enemy. We thank you, Lord. Pray for your blessings on each one. I ask it in Jesus' name. Song is not in there. I don't think it's not in the book, but I know you know it. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength. The joy of the Lord. Joy.